Hey guys, welcome to the Bag and Boardcast, episode number 559. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
And I'm Paul.
And we're a weekly podcast that comes to you in three ways.
The first being The Week in Geek, bringing you the top geek stories of the past week. Next is the list, the comic books that we are looking forward to coming out April 17th, 2024.
And then we follow it up with our weekly rotating main topic. And this week, in celebration of John dying, we're celebrating National Anime Day, where we're all sitting down. And for some of us, we're watching maybe our first anime. We're taking the dive into an exciting new and different medium. So we all picked the first episode of something, and we're all going to sit down and watch that. It's almost like a main topic.
Yeah.
Where we do like comic book reviews each month, where we all pick a comic book and then we all have to sit down and read that book and we give our thoughts on it. But this time we all picked an anime pilot and then we all sat down and watched it. This isn't replacing that main topic.
And Paul sure did pick a Paul pick. And John sure picked a John one.
So stay tuned for those when we get into the main topic. But as always, we are kicking it off with a drink, except for John.
Yes, John is getting over a sinus infection and is not partaking. And I'm sorry for everyone when I have my little coughs on mic.
You can hit Control-M, I believe.
I sit too far away from my computer.
I know, you're in like a lazy boy. Yeah. Don't feel too bad for this guy. He's in a freaking comfy cardigan. He's like in this lazy boy recliner. He's just like one stogie away from looking from every stereotypical grandfather ever.
Yeah.
Now he just has a cough to go with.
I got a leather chair. I got a little ottoman with my feet up on it. I'm doing great.
He has the robot from Rocky bringing him
Pepsi. Pepsi free.
I couldn't remember what it was. Thank you.
Well, Paul, drinking, Chris.
What are you starting off with?
I'm drinking something that you had on the show a little while ago, and this is kind of continuing our vein from when we made those Kool-Aid style IPAs. This is from New Belgium. This is their Voodoo Ranger series. In their subcategory of Voodoo Ranger series, this is one of their forces, and this is a Tropic Force, tropical IPA, to go along with Juice Force, which I like. Fruit yes. Force, which I
yes.
hate.
Juice Force, no. Fruit Force. Wait. Juice Force, yes. Fruit Force, no.
Where does
and your
tropical
thoughts, juice, and your thoughts juice on tropical jolt. Force?
Yes! It is okay, a yes. I like
so you
it.
Like this one. And then, John, this is the one that you didn't like.
I didn't
and this is the one
love
I liked.
It. Okay. You liked it. I liked it better than Fruit Force.
Oh, yeah. It's much better than
Less
Fruit
than Force. Juice Force. But it wouldn't be something I would go back to where Juice Force I would.
Okay.
This is fun. It's pineapple breezy. It's summery. It makes me want to get there outside and enjoy the weather. The one day that we have nice. It is now spring here in Buffalo where once a week we'll get one day where it's not raining and it'll be like 62 degrees and everybody's outside. Because the very next day it rains and then the temperature drops right back down to below 40.
Yep.
And you just live for that one day. That's nice during the week. And during that one nice day, you want to drink something very summery. This is very – and that is this. It's very pineapple up front. Not much IPA flavor. It's not sophisticated. It's not complex. It's not asking for anything except for you to, you know, just sit back and enjoy the summer breeze, bud. It makes you feel fine. Chris.
Yeah.
That's what you're drinking, making you feel fine?
What I'm drinking is making me feel fine. Like, I'm not feeling fine. I'm feeling, it's fine. I am keeping with the main topic theme as we are sampling some different anime. I'm sampling some different Japanese beers. So none of this stuff is going to be anything completely out there. This is basically the tap list you would see if you went to your local sushi bar. So this is all stuff that's probably readily available, except for the
You're
last
beer
that I'm
going to
have. Yes, I'm getting sockified. I do have sake if I decide I want to get into things later. Make some mischief, we can do that. But I'm starting off with Kirin Ichiban. Again,
It's number one.
First press, 100% malt. Kirin Ichiban uses only the most flavorful portion of the finest ingredients. It's fine. Again, like this, it's not a mass market beer, but it is. Like, it's an Anheuser-Busch beer. Like, they're just brewing this for Kirin, who I'm guessing is probably still based out of Japan, but I don't know how close this is to that actual Kirin Ichiban, as Paul said, number one. But this is fine. Like, if this is something you're having at your sushi dinner date night, you're not going to mind it. Like, I'm not buying like a six pack out of this to bring home, but like to spend $2.49 to have a bottle to sit down and talk with my friends, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. I usually order this if I'm going to get a beer when I go out for sushi.
I'm more excited for the next one I have, which, you know, it's going to be Sapporo. Like, Sapporo, yeah. Just, it drinks so easy. It's like a little bit.
Sapporo
is more malt. Like, it's definitely like, it does have a nice kind of bready mouthfeel. Like, I'm not trying to pave over the fact that, like, this is a decent beer, but it's just, it's nothing that's earth shattering.
Yeah. But I usually order it in honor of super friend of the show, Ed, with his Ichi toast.
When Yanni and I went out for sushi night last week or 2 weeks ago, that's the toast now. It's got to be Ichi.
Yeah. But we always do it. We always do it.
Yeah.
And my dad always does it when we do a toast.
What's nice for me, as the friend that normally says something wrong or a little off, and then you guys run with it forever, that it's not just me that it happens to. It's also other friends.
Well, I think
you do it too. And it's going on 20 years now, right? Like, it's.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think it's better to, it's like being brought out to like outside the friend group too. Like, it's become its own thing. It's taken on a new life.
I don't think anything else has grown as much as Ichi. Like, Fairy Wings was getting close to it, and then that died, luckily.
Yeah, but you know, it does come back from time to time.
Yeah, it comes up, but not. It floats back up, but never reaches the pinnacle as well. Itchy. But that's enough about all of that, whatever I was saying. Let's get into the Week in Geek, guys. And John, who day that's playing Jonathan Kent?
Yeah, they just announced that Paw Kent has been cast, and Pruitt Taylor Vince will be playing Paw Kent. He was the priest in Constantine. He was the serial killer in Identity. Spoiler for that 20-year-old movie.
Okay. I recognized him, but I couldn't put it to where.
He was a natural born killers. He had a couple episodes of The Walking Dead. a good character actor, but I've never seen him in a role that I would have been like, oh yeah, he should be Pa Kent. For the most part, I think James Gunn has always had pretty spot on casting, so I imagine he'll do a good job. But if I was going to pick a Superman character this actor would play, I would almost say Perry White.
Okay. yeah, I don't have strong thoughts on this either way, which I know is a hot take as a comic book fan when there's news coming out about a movie, but I will reserve judgment because I don't know enough about him to say.
Yes, yeah. This news makes me happy about one thing.
Pa Kent's going to be in it.
That Pa Kent is alive. Because there's one thing in this Superman mythos, I don't like it when they kill Pa Kent. I like it that Pa Kent is alive with Ma Kent. Because Superman, Superman doesn't need Pa Kent to die to then go off and, like, become Superman. Superman will become Superman because it is who he is.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a tragedy to befall him first. He doesn't need an Uncle Ben. He's different than Spider-Man in that way. So, I'm hopeful that this means he's actually Pa Kent and he's alive in the present and he's not just in flashbacks or a ghost.
Oh, I hope he is a ghost. I hope he is a ghost. Completely change up the mythology. Let's do this. Make him a ghost. What else did we say we were going to talk about? Oh, okay, that was one of them. We got our first trailer for the upcoming Joker, Folie à Deux, sequel. It's doing the thing that a lot of movie trailers do, where they're hiding the fact that it's a musical. And I cannot wait to see the blowback from people that don't know this is going to be a musical.
That's right there in the title. Out it is. Folie à Deux. Doesn't that mean like
It's a musical.
No, it doesn't. But I don't know what to expect from this movie. I never saw the first Joker movie. Again, not for me. I know I don't care for the response that it got. And I know they like. I think like triple or quadruple the budget from the first one for this movie. And I know a lot of that's probably going to, bigger cast. Lady Gaga's in this one. But now, since it is a musical, they're probably procuring song rights because it is going to be like a jukebox musical, and that can be expensive. But then they also will have to build like more set dressing because it's also a musical. So it needs to probably be a little bit more bombastic. Like La La Land, I don't know how this is going to go over.
I don't think it's going to go over well, because I think the reason that the first Joker was so popular is because of the grittiness of it, and all the boys that liked that Joker movie would be like, "Dad, women don't belong in video games," or I don't want that. And now they're going to go in there expecting Taxi Driver, and they're going to get Moulin Rouge, and they're going to be like, that's a Moulin don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. Harley Quinn, she's such a Mary Sue. Hey, Folie à Deux. It's a shared mental illness shared by two people.
Madness shared by two. I know that because it was the name of a Fallout album in like 2002.
Oh, you think it's going to be all Fallout?
Oh, my gosh.
Fallout music because of the popularity of the Fallout TV show?
I would love that. Also, something that I might love. This is not announced or confirmed or anything, but there are rumblings coming out from over at DC Comics that they may possibly be working on something similar to Marvel's Ultimate line of comic books, where it's reintroducing their classic characters to newer audiences. And if this sounds like something we've talked about before, yes. Yes, we have, because they've reset their universe multiple times. They've done the Earth One line of graphic novels, which is now dead, so no more of those coming out, including the ones that were told good. Were coming out, like The Flash and Aquaman. We never got the ones that we enjoyed, like Green Lantern and Superman. No more of those. The fact that Scott Snyder could be heading this up, kind of interesting. I'm not opposed to it because of how much I have been enjoying the Ultimate Comics now.
Yes, but what they already have for most of their lines are Ultimate versions of their DC characters now. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what are you going to go like? The Ultimate line's going to be back to the classics?
So this is also part of like another publishing like directive. This line would be part of what they're like referring to as DC All In, which would be keeping what is working, kind of like they did with the New 52, where books like Scott Snyder's Batman and Green Lantern were already kind of cemented in their continuities and, for all intents and purposes, working on their own. So they're like, okay, well, we'll keep that. But then reworking the stuff that maybe was staggering a little bit, which, okay, that's fine. I think you can do that without having it be like a whole, we're hitting the reset button again. Here's 52 new number one issues. Like, I'm okay if you go about that in a smart way, like pare things back, go back to basics with some things.
See, what I liked about New 52 was they didn't. They went back to basics on some of the characters, so I will agree with that. But they also tried different characters. We got Eye of Vampire. We got Blackhawks. We got a Swamp Thing, Animal Man, and was there another one? No, it's just Swamp Thing and Animal Man that were like crossing over and like doing their own thing. And I would like to see some other DC characters get like a highlight, and we see that over at Warner. Well, who owns Warner Brothers now?
Discovery.
Yeah. But with Sean Gunn, he's going to be doing Creature Commandos. So I don't know if there's a there shouldn't be a shyness when it comes to the publishing branch to at least try putting out a different book here or there.
Yeah, I feel like it's they're trying to throw as much out there and see if it sticks. And that's kind of what Marvel has been doing for, what, the last 10 years? They've just been like, okay, creator, yeah, do it. Boom. And they just call it Daredevil number one, and it's this. And then they're like, okay, we're done with that. Daredevil number one now is this writer, and he's taking it in this direction and doing that. But I think with them bringing back Ultimates, I also think, like, the Black Hammer line at Dark Horse, which was like Jeff Lemire taking his thoughts of those classic characters and then retooling them, worked. It was huge. You know, they had a lot of sales with that. So why not do the same thing but with their characters, instead of somebody who looks like Starman having a book in the Black Hammer thing? It is Starman having a.
I read something interesting about that, and apparently DC can't use Starman due to something in like the licensing rights with whoever wrote it. Can't remember the guy's name.
Oh, your boy Paul.
Yeah, he's one of your boys.
Your guy.
I'm looking over for my Ultimate Starman books. Or my not Ultimate Starman, but
James Robinson.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. I'm gonna try to
quickly. They can't Google use it. That Starman?
But yeah, there was something about like
Jack Knight, he owns his.
Yeah, something about him, like nobody else is allowed to like write that version of the character or something.
Okay, well, there's like four other versions of Starman. You got the one from Legion, Mikhail, the alien guy.
His brother, his father,
mother, dad.
Got
Stargirl.
Yeah.
And Stripesy.
That's
now on Tubi, by the way. I could watch all those, and I still have.
Yeah, it is. I would be interested to see what this Ultimate line is going to face. The DC Ultimate line is going to be. But like, kind of like you said, Paul, is like, I kind of would want it to showcase other characters. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need another like new retelling of Batman. I've had it. I've done it. They do it all the time.
Right.
But
a redoing of those characters aren't for the people that have been here for that whole time. It's trying to get a new reader in to be excited about Batman, which is fine. Like, not everything needs to be for me. There's so many books that I haven't read that are still for me.
Yeah, they're not for Paul, because every time he's tries to buy it. Like, they're like, no, Paul, not for you. Like, he's tried, like, sitting on someone else's shoulders wearing a trench coat, and they're like, nope.
What I need to do is be the
get out of here.
I'm never the bottom, and that's my problem. If I was the bottom, then they wouldn't see my face, so that I can, they would. What are you saying? I could buy the book. It'd just be weird that my hand would come out in the middle of my body.
Well, it's also weird is you always sit on somebody who's like a really short, so you're actually the same height when you're on the person as you're as normal.
Yeah. There's multiple problems with my hole.
There's multiple problems with your hole. We know that, Paul.
My whole bit.
We didn't talk about before, but we did have a loss in the entertainment world. Best known for his portrayal of Nordberg from the Naked Gun movies, former Bills Hall of Famer O.J. Simpson passed away. Only famous for those two things.
Yep.
Nothing else.
And all the Norm jokes.
And all the Norm jokes. Love Norm MacDonald. Passed away from cancer. And, like, I think the best one that I heard was, at least he'll be able to rest peacefully knowing that the real murderer is finally gone. Anyways, yeah, I had that put in my notes. So I was like, I'm not going to bring this up because I want to make that joke. I did it.
The Ford Bronco can't be back out and OJ still be alive. Like, he can't have both of them at the same time.
You know what? So
it was
I always applaud them for getting rid of the Bronco, you know, and then bringing out the Ford Escape in its place. You know, that was very, very smart marketing. Smarketing, you could say it was. Anyone else have any?
I want to say one thing. As a Bills fan, I know he's the leading rusher all time for the Buffalo Bills, and that doesn't matter. It doesn't come close to the horrible things that
he did. Yeah, so they couldn't catch him.
Couldn't catch him, exactly. They only could catch him when he tried to steal things, like when he was 76.
And he was stealing his own stuff back.
Memorabilia. But now that he's passed, hopefully that means the Bills will be allowed to win a Super Bowl. Hopefully penance has been paid, and now we can win a Super Bowl.
It's possible. We'll see. You know what else we'll see? What comic books we're looking forward to coming out this week, a.k.a. today, yesterday, by the time you hear this. April 17th. John, you got a book.
Yeah, I'm picking the number 2 of Helen of Windhorn. This is the Tom King book that we reviewed issue 1 last month. I enjoyed the book. I'm there for number 2.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. Let me know your thoughts on number 2. I don't know. Did they say how many issues this is going to be? Because I can't imagine this more than like a limited series.
He usually does miniseries, so it's usually probably about 12, I would say. I doubt this is an ongoing series.
4 issues.
Oh, it's only 4?
Yeah. Solicitation for issue number 3 says, in this pet ultimate issue, Helen's frustrations continue to exacerbate as her drinking worsens. And then, okay. Unless they decide, like, maybe extending it out, secondary season series. Okay. Good to know. Let me know how it is, if it's something worth continuing on, or if it's something you want to maybe bring as trading policy.
Yeah. Sounds good. Chris, what do you think Paul's looking forward to?
I think he's probably looking forward to a Fantastic Four book.
No, I talked about the Fantastic Four book last time. But, Chris,
there could be a second one.
There was a not episode that we kind of did. Where we just, John was sick, and I'm like, yeah, but I was planning on talking to my friends
John
tonight.
John was sick.
And drinking. And Chris is like, I could talk and drink. And we, Chris and I, we jumped online and didn't record and talked. and drank. And we actually talked about this book. Chris, you brought this to my attention. This is Star Wars The High Republic Adventures, written published by Dark Horse. And this is this line that I have not paid attention to at all, because it's over at Dark Horse. But this is following somebody we just talked about in our Word Books with Friends, Ty Yorick, the kind of bounty hunter, Jedi Padawan turned bounty hunter slash adventurer slash saber for hire, you might call her.
Oh, I would call her that.
And that's the title of this book. And yeah, it's being written by Kevin Scott and artist by Rachel Scott and Nicola.
You mean the guy who wrote the book that she is also on the cover for?
Yes,
I know that's her. What she looks like? Cool.
So it's her continuing story. This is in this is taking place in Phase 3 of the High Republic. So this is after some events that happened in a book we haven't read yet, Chris.
Ooh.
Where the Nile has set up their storm wall, where people can't get in and out of a certain sector of space because they have it blocked off, and she is trapped behind it. And she is having some fun adventures. As a saber for hire.
I really did enjoy her in Rising Storm. So I'm looking forward to maybe checking this out. Like, I don't know. We don't have our books picked for this monthly look back. But I don't know, something I would be interested in checking out.
Oh, that is a May look back. So it is kind of the seasons of the Force are kind of upon us, some of my friends. So maybe that would be. I'll read it. I'll tell you if I like it enough. I'll put it on there. I'll put it on there if it's one, you Sorry. Know, new reader friendly enough. Because if it's too much in the weeds and John wouldn't, if you're lost from the jump, then it wouldn't be any fun. But if it's just her having an adventure and you don't know much.
It's not accessible as a number one. That's fine. Instead, Paul will make you read issue number 1065 of Action Comics.
Mm-hmm. But that's the start of a new storyline, so it's fine. John, you okay, bud?
Yeah, I just had some sneezes.
Do what my wife does. Go outside to the yard, sneeze as loud as you can, and we can still hear you. It'll be fine.
So every time she sneezes, is she out in the yard? Because it sounds like she's right next to you off camera.
No, she is like in the living room. She's like 3 rooms away, and she's still that loud.
She might need some antihistamines.
Antihistamine, you mean? Yeah, that was bad. I didn't like that joke.
But you know what? You know what's going to be good? Maybe we'll
the
see.
The book that you're picking?
Yeah, and I'm hopeful. I've been really enjoying this run coming out from DC Comics, written by Tom Taylor. Art by Bruno Redondo and Daniel DiNiculo. This is Nightwing number 113. But in legacy numbering, this is actually number 300 of Nightwing's solo title. Maybe not ongoing, like it's gone away and it's come back, relaunched before. But this is officially issue number 300 of Nightwing, which is fantastic. One of my favorite comic book characters of all time. They don't give a lot of information on what this story is going to be in the solicitations. It just says you've seen him work alongside universe's most powerful heroes against existence's most sinister villains. You've seen him do so many things, but now in 300, you'll see him. Well, you'll just have to wait and see in the issue. So it doesn't matter what it is. I love this current iteration of this book. I love this creative team on it. So, yeah. Nightwing, 113.
Nice.
It is, I hope.
113, also 300. Also 300. Know what I'm also hoping for?
John. Oh, that would be, sorry. That would be a dramatic, and now, I don't know what voice to do, I'm lost. And now, a dramatic reading from Archie versus the World, number one, page 16. Panel 4.
What'll it be, Archie?
And that was a dramatic reading from Archie versus the World, number 1. Page 16, panel 4.
It was almost Orko, but not really.
Yeah.
Close, but not. Close enough to, like, if you asked Paul to do his Orko voice from 10 years ago, well, 12 years ago, whenever it was, that's probably how he would do it.
Sky Spy, Sky Spy.
No, that's your Kate voice.
Yeah, you're going to add a little gravel to it.
Paul, do you have your next beer ready to go, or are you going to be holding off for a little bit?
You know what? I can drink my next beer because let me tell you, some of the anime you guys picked made me go, "Sweet baby Jesus!"
Ooh.
And this is a beer that we've had on the club, on the show before. This is
He's drinking Jesus juice.
This is their chocolate peanut butter porter, 6.2% alcohol by volume, and this is just a nice, slightly rich. Nice peanut, like natural peanut butter flavored porter. Really easy drinking, nice sipping kind of beer. I'm enjoying it. I'm ride this out, see how far we get through our talk. Maybe I'll crack open another one, but I think this might last me through because it is a good, just sipping easy, take your time, enjoy it kind of beer.
Nice. Yeah, Chris. I just did a pre-order for Sweet Baby Pumpkin for this Halloween, this September.
Nice.
So we'll get it in July?
We'll get it in late July, beginning of August, probably, yes.
That's fine. Those are my favorite types of beers. Let's go.
You know what else is your favorite types of beer?
Hmm.
When they're premium. Beer?
They are. And I didn't realize when I grabbed this, this is not the base version of Sapporo. This is the Sapporo Premium.
Ooh.
It doesn't taste much different from the regular Sapporo. Again, this is 5% ABV. So same as the Kirin Ichiban. Again, I think this one's a little bit easier drinking. Like, I just cracked it not too long ago. And I'm already at the tail end of it, so... These are like the lightest beers I've had on the podcast in a while, so I'm feeling great. But I have less to say about this one. Like, at least with the Ichiban, it has more of like that like malt forwardness to it. This one doesn't. This is much lighter.
I believe the Sapporo kind of Premium is just a regular beer.
Is it?
Yeah.
The label looks different. I don't know. Who makes this one?
Sapporo.
But who makes it?
Sapporo.
Is it? Okay. I don't know who they were owned by or partnered with. But
no, they're their own. They're the ones that buy up. They've been buying up everybody lately.
Good for them. Love to see it. And you know what else I love to see?
Anime?
Yeah. But I do like anime, John. You're right. And that's why I'm happy to celebrate National Anime Day this week. By the time you hear this, you've already missed it. It was April 15th. But, you know, we put this out on Wednesday. So, you know, we're allowed to be a couple days late. You know, we're celebrating later. That's fine.
Yeah, you can still celebrate it. Like, yeah. Whenever you have time this week, celebrate National Anime Day. And whatever that means for you.
Yeah, whatever that means to you and your family. Celebrate how you see fit.
Paul takes out his, like, life-size anime pillow that he has. What are those called, Paul?
Yeah,
the pillow?
Yeah. But it looks like the characters.
So, yeah, I got one that looks like Trigon. It's fun because, you know, normally they're only so tall, but his hair adds more length, so it really gives me a good...
Mm. Oh, Paul, was Trigon your anime?
No. Because we all watched that before, because it was on Adult Swim.
I watched it on my own because I bought all of the VHS tapes. And I do have to say, one of the things that I do like about our current streaming platform world that we live in now is it's a lot easier to have access to different stuff. In the high school days when I like was first getting into anime, you basically had to just buy it, and then maybe you had friends that were buying other stuff, and like you could tape trade. because this was when he had to buy VHS tapes. And you would spend like $30 for like two episodes on one VHS tape. So by the time you would get to like the end of a series or a season, like you would have invested like hundreds of dollars for like 25 episodes. Because that's how I originally watched Neon Genesis Evangelion, was that. And then same thing with Trigun. But now with streaming, there's multiple platforms that have a lot of different stuff. And I think it's a great time to dip your toes into something because there's very little barrier for entry now. Like, there's stuff available on, like, Crunchyroll's a whole streaming platform devoted to it, but you can find stuff on Peacock, on Netflix, on Hulu. There's things just available on YouTube if you search for it. So we really are in a golden age of content.
Of availability.
Yeah.
Because for me, anime was Sailor Moon on TBS. Sci-fi would run anime like either really late at night or early in the morning.
Yeah, they did like Saturday morning anime where I think they had like five things that they would like rotate through,
because it was
like
Express.
Vampire Hunter D, Galaxy Hunter,
Galaxy Express 99 or whatever it was, and
and Cartoon Network did it at night too.
Yeah, later on for us, like as a kid though, like middle school, like early high school, like Cartoon Network started doing anime, like I think
I was
high school, right?
It was before I was 16, like, because that's where I first saw Vampire Hunter D was on Cartoon Network.
Well, maybe I just didn't have Cartoon Network back then. But
possibly, but yeah. They did start to bring stuff in with Toonami, because that's where like Dragon Ball Z started coming out, and like you could watch it like readily available there.
That was the first time I saw Dragon Ball Z was then, and I'm like, this seems old.
Yeah, I remember getting into an argument with someone about it, because I was like, no, this is from the 80s, and they're like, no, it's not. I was like, no, like, this is old. And it was one of the things like, no, you're wrong. And it's like, okay, well, I'm not, but whatever. Because again, we kind of already talked about Dragon Ball, but also then something like Sailor Moon was another big one that was really responsible for getting anime to the American audiences. And then I think Pokemon was probably like the next next biggest, and then it's kind of branched out from there, because now there's like a more recent batch that's like what's gotten people into things with things like
Digimon.
Digimon. No, like the new big ones are like Naruto was like huge for it, and then things like Demon Slayer, Bleach was another big one. But let's just kick it off with Paul.
Oh, okay.
Because like John set it up at the beginning, it was one of the more Paul picks. So Paul, tell us what your choice was and why you decided to go this route with it.
I'm still not 100% sure on how to pronounce it, but I think it's Haikyuu.
Haikyuu.
Huh?
Haikyuu.
Haikyuu! Exclamation point, exclamation point. And this is a volleyball sports anime. And guys, remember when Ted Lasso was first coming out?
Because I still never got into it.
Ted Lasso, it's about soccer, but it's not really about soccer. And then years later, after Ted Lasso, you know,
wait, are you telling me that this anime isn't about volleyball? Because I'm pretty sure it's about volleyball.
Apparently it gets to the point where it's about just the guys hanging out being bros and like learning how to deal with each other. It is, yeah. It's people like pushing themselves to be better and working and helping each other get better. No, this is about volleyball. This is about a shorter kid that, you know, while in middle school sees, early middle school sees a shorter person like win the high school championship. The Little Giant. And so he
wait, is this the Japanese version of Little Giants?
Yes.
Where's Rick Moranis?
He shows up in like the third episode.
Oh, I didn't watch that much.
Me either. And he goes to school and tries to start a male volleyball club. Except there's nobody that will join the team. There is a women's volleyball club that he won't join because he doesn't want to do it. So he's the only member. And he spends his, like, the 3 years just trying to get a club together. He finally does. They're able to enter the tournament, finally enter the tournament. He's there. It's a big day. And he has belief. And his belief will see him through and his team through to victory. But unfortunately, he's going up against, in the very first match, he's got a rotten draw. He's going up against the king of the court. I don't remember the guy's name. I don't remember any of the characters' names.
Yeah, I don't remember anyone's names either.
King but also, he's called the king of the court, but that main character has named him that.
No, other people, the announcers even refer to him as king of the court.
Do they?
Yeah.
Because it seemed like...
And he doesn't like being called that.
Okay.
And unfortunately, he does not do... His team does not do well. They do score some points. And he does play admirably as a striker, as a spiker. But ultimately, they lose. And, but during that, they come to their team comes together and says, hey, look, you did it, though. You got us here. It was because of you. There's no big stakes. There's no big melodrama. There's no grotesque bloodying of anybody. And it's just a quiet kind of a slice of life.
Well, you're missing the end. Where it fast forwards to him going to like high school and he's ready to be on a real team. And who's there? Who's going to be on team with him?
The king of the court.
King of the court. King of the court.
He's there. And he's called king of the court because he's the setter. And he basically directs what the rest of the team does. And you can see that when he's on the court, he is very much demanding of what the rest of his team does and how they behave.
I'm guessing the main character's name is Shoyo Hinata. I'm guessing that character, the king of the court's name is Tobio Kagayama, because those are the two characters when you go to the IMDb that are in 87 episodes for Shoyo and then 86 episodes for Tobio. I may be wrong there, but...
No, I think that's pretty spot-on comparison.
I think what made this difficult for me to kind of have that... build that relationship is this is the only one of the three that we're talking about that... I watched this one on Crunchyroll. This is the only one that was actually only available as a subtitle version. So it's Japanese language, then English subtitles. So a lot of the information that I gleaned from it didn't... like stay with me because I was engaged in it, like I was actively watching it, but the names just escaped because I'm not hearing it. Like when I'm reading it, I'm not committing that much to memory because it's not like a word book where I'm constantly like seeing the names again and again and again, like Anakin said.
Yeah, but when I'm reading a name and I'm not familiar with the name, I just give the character a different name.
So what did you call everyone? King of the court and...
and the little guy.
The little guy, okay.
Little one.
I watched this in either Hulu or Netflix, and it was the same way. It wasn't dubbed.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I'm never going to be the person that's like, oh, dub's the way to actually watch. Like, most of the anime that I do like to watch, I prefer watching it. Like in English, because it's easier for me to draw that relationship to my characters, because I can just sit there and enjoy it. Like, I don't have to read while I'm doing it. Not that I don't enjoy reading it, but you know what I mean.
I think there also is a thing when you're reading it, you're missing some of the visual cues with it.
I find an anime. The visual cues aren't subtle. So I don't have that big of a problem reading it in subtitles because I'm probably catching what they're doing.
Because they're going big?
They go big.
Now, Paul, how did you like this anime?
I thought...
Because you also were like, well, I didn't watch episode 3.
I did watch the second episode. And this is the only one of the anime that we picked that I did watch the second one.
Okay, that was going to be kind of my continuing question as we go through for everybody's like, oh, like, did you watch more? Will you watch more?
Just to see if it picked up and got, like, because I felt like this was all set up of, like, this.
Volleyball.
Yeah. And I don't feel they really got it honed in quite as much as I wanted to in that first episode, because it was like, oh, this is all preamble. This is all their backstory for the relationship that we're going to build on now. Once rivals, now friends. But even in episode two, they are still very much rivals. And they're at the high school now. And you think that they're going to, get over things and, like, work together. But they don't.
I mean...
So I think it's a slower burn anime than I was expecting.
There are four seasons of this. It did end in 2020, so it went on for 5 years because it originally launched in 2014.
Looks like it's something that could have came out during the 90s.
I feel like this one's a little bit more visually impressive than some 90s anime. Like, it does look pretty
cool. I don't know. The king of the court comes by and he swoops out his arm and feathers fly everywhere.
Yeah.
As if directed by John Woo.
And that's cool, though.
Is it cool?
Yeah, John Woo's cool.
In episode two, they do go over that the school they go to somehow were called the Ravens. Because they... Or they're called, like, the Grounded Ravens now or something like that, because they used to fly mightily and high, and now they're just, like, bottom feeders, and they're just picking at the leftovers because they're no longer the top team. But this is the school that the Little Giant went to the national championship with, so that's why the main character wanted to go there.
Now, Paul, I'm not trying to pick on you for this this. Your pick. We all have our styles, but what was it that you gravitated towards wanting to do this? Was it, oh, I know John said he's doing Attack on Titan. Chris said he's doing a spy thing. Let's get something different.
This was something that has, like, got into my social, like, podcasts that I listen to. People I follow on the internet, be like Instagram, back in, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when I was still on Twitter before it became X, maybe a year and a half ago. People were talking about this being a really fun show that's on Netflix, or it was available, easy to watch, and people were enjoying it. So it, like, somehow got inside my own social bubble, and I don't have people that really watch anime in that social bubble. So I'm like, okay, so this is something that can break through that demographic. It's something that maybe somebody like I who watched anime, middle school, early high school, but fell off of it and just hasn't enjoyed it. Like, maybe this is what can get me into it. And that's why I wanted to watch it. It was something that I'm like, oh, we're watching it for the show. I'll finally now sit down and watch it. And I didn't know what else I would pick.
Sure.
I feel like that's fair. And I think John's not wrong by saying it is like a Paul pick, because it is sports related. Paul's a sports guy. Even if it's not a sport that he's actively, like, participating in or watching, he still tries to know enough about it to talk to people about it, because he wants to have, like, that communication with somebody. But then also, to your point, Paul, it's like kind of slice of lifey, where it's character interactions, but it's taking place with volleyball as the background.
I understand volleyball. I can get into there's a baseline that I'm like, okay, cool. There's a lot of anime where you hear about, like, One Piece that has, like, existed for so long, like, it seems daunting to try to even start that.
Yeah. 1,090 something episodes now, and then there's like 20 movies.
Like when you said that there was five seasons of this show, I was like, oof. I'm like, I could see it going three. Like, how is there five? High school doesn't last 5 years, guys.
Yeah, I mean the first episode actually doesn't take place in high school, so maybe there you go.
Maybe they have like flashbacks.
And I think that's kind of like a good place to kind of jump into the next kind of thing I wanted to discuss is all three of the properties that we're bringing to the digital table. They are based on manga series, and I do think it's interesting how Japan does their comics, because you basically buy a magazine that comes out every week. That magazine might have 12 different stories in it, and each one of those stories is the next chapter of that manga. And that manga might be like 10 pages. And then next week you get the next like chapters in all those series. A lot of that, like, you can Shonen Jump's free. Like, you can read the most recent issues, I think like the last five issues, for free. Like, if you want to like jump in with where they're at now and just like read things. But if you want to go back and read the full back catalogs, like, you have to do the subscription thing, which, whatever. But I think it's really cool. And as much as I love going to the comic book store and buying my single issues, I know it's something that some companies have toyed with. Buying like one book that has all those different stories in it would be really cool. Like, you might not like everything that's in there, but you might find something different. Like, if you're buying a weekly comics magazine for Haikyuu, maybe seeing the next, like the first chapter of something that's starting off, and there's like, oh, well, I'm going to keep buying this. Like, this story is engaging. I think that's really cool. Like, it's such a different way to do comics. And
we kind of got that a little bit with Weekly Comics from DC when it was
Wednesday Comics,
and it was in the newspaper form. It was fun, and you looked forward to checking out all those stories. And we talked about like, oh yeah, we like this one. Oh, you know, I didn't really like that one. Or like, oh yeah, I actually like the Paul Pope one. Like,
The Strange Adventures one. So I think that's just really, really cool. And then if you're not interested in that, like, you can just go buy the actual like manga volumes, and a volume might have 12 chapters in it, but this is 12 chapters of Demon Slayer. It's like $9. Like, it's still cheaper than buying a trade paperback, but it's, there's less panels per page, but it's still cracking in like a whole story.
Is it
story.
All black and white, or is it?
Yeah, like, they're all black and white, but it's also worth noting, like, it's all done by one person. So the creator of Demon Slayer, which I'm holding up for the guys on camera, Koyoharu Gatuge, like the script, the penciling, word balloons, it's all done by one person. So they're sitting there putting these out every week. They're doing like 5 to 10 pages of a story that's coming out for people to consume. And I think it's really, really cool.
The only one I ever read was Blade of the Immortal, because Maddie was buying it and he let me borrow them. And I mean,
which Maddie?
Read
the one that you that you made
Air Force. Lots.
Okay.
And he, you know, he'd let me borrow them, and then he'd give me a stack of them, and you know, I'd burn through them. Like, it was a great series.
But yeah, I was kind of saying that because a lot of these stories, this is how I loop back into Haikyuu going on for 5 years, because it is a story being told in installments. And at least with Demon Slayer, like, it's basically a one for one. Like, having watched the series up until like currently with what's going to be coming out, and now going back and starting from the beginning with the manga to catch up to it, it's almost shot for shot. So the groundwork's already laid out for the anime, where like they can draw from all that. Like, the work's almost done for them. They just need to animate it now. So 5 years of storytelling in comics coming out every week is probably not too crazy to do, like, as 86 episodes of a cartoon. Like, it's it would make sense looking at it from that kind of working backwards way.
All right, but Chris, we didn't pick Demon Slayer.
I didn't. So I submitted three different ones to the group to see what you guys were most interested in checking out. And Paul's wife, Kate, picked Spy Family. And this is actually the most recent of the series that we've picked. This one is actively still going on. There's one season of this. No, I'm sorry, two seasons of the show available. And there's a movie coming out this week. We're actually going to go see it when it comes out on Friday. But yeah, this is Spy Family. And this is, it takes place in the 1960s where there is a crisis brewing between two nations involved in something of a Cold War. And a spy organization is sending their top spy, Twilight, in to see if he can figure out what's going on. But the only way he can learn what's happening is by building a family to have his daughter befriend the son of this world leader and then run into him at like a school gathering. Not so much slice of life. This is more of like an action comedy one. Mm-hmm. Spoilers for me. I absolutely love Spy Family. This is a show that Yanni and I kind of binged. So I didn't remember what happened in the first episode so much until I went back to rewatch it, because the first episode is just Lloyd Forger. We don't know his real name because he just goes by his spy name, Twilight. So Lloyd Forger is his mission name, adopting his daughter, Anya. And oh yeah, that's the twist for this. Yes, he's the world's greatest super spy. And the girl that he adopts is actually a telepath, because she had experiments done on her as a baby. And she's kind of bounced from orphanage to family. But this is her one shot to kind of make it work. And it just so happens she knows her dad's a spy. And spoilers for what happens later on in the series, the woman that he chooses to become his wife is actually like the world's most deadly assassin. And they also befriend and adopt a dog who can see the future.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a Spy Family shirt, guys.
When you told me about the show, I'm like, yes, I'm excited about this. This will be awesome because I like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, like the movie.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith TV show is fantastic. I don't know if anyone's watched that yet.
I have.
I remember 7 episodes of it. I hope they do more. I don't know if they're going to, because amazing.
It's on Amazon, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like excited for the show. And then the first episode, though, all it is him like adopting the kid. And the kid is kind of annoying. And they don't have the dog yet?
Paul, they don't get the dog until the end of the first season. Did watch your anime, right? Because yeah. That kid was kind of annoying. All kids in animes are annoying.
All kids are.
The kid in my anime is annoying. Kids are annoying in anime.
So there were moments that I chuckled at. I will admit that for Hakyo, I did watch it while sitting down at a computer and just watched it so I could read the subtitles. Or Spy Family and Attack on Titan, I did watch it while on a treadmill. And I watched them back to back. So okay. Spy Family was the second show I watched because I'm like, you know what? I probably want to still finish lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
So I was already almost 30 minutes into a run while watching it. Every time she was on scene and being annoying, it was like reminding me of what I was, you know, it wasn't helping me escape. Is okay. What I'm going to say. So maybe there's a little bit of that going on. But let me tell you, preview for second episode 2, where he's going to get the assassin wife. I'm like, yes, that's what I'm signed up for. What was episode 1 about? Much like in my anime, where I was like, oh, this is all prologue. I felt like this one was prologue as well. Like, I'm like, oh, let's get to the jump, you know?
Yeah, I think both Haikyuu and Spy Family do have that first episode is setting the table, like, because you're coming into this world, and
the opening scene though, great, like where he's like, oh, I got the pictures, here they are,
just proving the guy's like bald. He's got about to ruin this man's career.
And he goes away, and then all of a sudden, oh wait, who did I just give the photos to? Because you're thinking the master spy is the guy that just like handed off the photos, but no, it was a classic Mission Impossible. Ba-da, ba-da, you know, rip off the mask and oh, he's the spy. Oh,
he's the spy and he's driving the car.
Yeah. One that took the photos, not the one that it was that originally had them. So I thought that was a lot of fun.
This is probably closest to yours. Like, this is, again, it's more comedy, but it's also kind of slice of life because it's about bound family. Pretty much, like, it's these three people that never really had a place, like, coming together and learning, like, oh, maybe I do have a place outside of who I am and what I've done before. John, your thoughts?
I liked it. I had fun with it. It is one that I would continue to watch. I only watched the first episodes of all of these. I would watch more of this, and I wanted to, especially when they're like, oh, they get the wife. And you like that. I did like that you saw like the hard shell of that, this master spy crack and break and want to protect that girl and have these moments where he's letting his guard down and he's relaxing. And I liked all that because it shows more depth to the character than just, I'm a master spy, I'm a robot, I have no feelings, I've turned it off.
And I do always like try to take into account when we're talking about things that we're watching or maybe would want to watch. This is technically rated PG-13. Because it does get very bloody in spots for violence. So it's one of those things, like, if you were happening to watch it, like, oh, it could be something that Grayson would like to see, because it is, like, action-packed, it's bright, it's colorful. But then, like, in the second season, there's the wife that you'll meet in episode two, Yor, is hired on to protect someone.
She's not my wife.
She would be. She's waifu material. She's great.
No, her name is what again?
Yor?
No,
Y-O-R. Y-O-R. I know Paul Zoon shtick. she has to protect like a woman who's being targeted by the mob, and like they're on a boat to try to get her to like a safe spot that she can jump off, and there's like a bunch of other assassins sent against her, and it's like the whole last episode of that season is just 20 minutes of Yor like decapitating, stabbing people, like cutting off limbs. And it very cool. Like there's still some like lightness and brevity to it, but it's also like, this is, you forget that this show that's very lighthearted and like, oh, my dad's a spy. Ah, like, oh no. Like the next scene is literally someone being like, stabbed through the skull with a sewing needle.
Near the end of the episode, it was fun with a very Mission Impossible, like, oh, we got him here he is all tied up, and but the guy that's bringing him in is actually him in disguise.
I liked it. I definitely want to keep watching it. It's kind of on my list of things to do. So thank you, Chris. Nice.
Hey. No, I'm glad you like it. I really want to know your thoughts on your pick, which Paul kind of mentioned earlier. So what
this one makes me go, sweet baby Jesus.
Oh, also, before we get into it, my final beer, while I'm at the end of it, I do not like it. I'm sure I've had this before, and I don't know if I just didn't like it then, too, or what. But it's Asahi Super Dry. It tastes skunky, and I don't know if that's just what this beer tastes like. Looking at the bottle for it, I didn't realize this is actually brewed by the Italian brewery who does Peroni, which is also not a great beer. And it, like when we go through Italy at Epcot, usually skip that or like, get a limoncello. I don't like this. Again, limoncello is
great.
I'm glad I only have like the one bottle of this, and I don't have to talk about it anymore or drink any more of it after this, because it's every time I go to take a sip, it's just that's kind of like Corona skunk beer on the nose, and that just it distracts so much from whatever the taste of it is.
Did he add lime to
it? So I think you might have a bad beer, because like a dry beer like this, it has like it's like no residual sugars in it. So it should be kind of like a dry wine.
Best before November 18th, 2024. So it should be like in its prime right now.
I've never had that beer. I was going to grab it to drink with you on the show, but
it's okay. You get your,
I was like, I'm not, I canceled on the podcast. I canceled on going out to a brewery with friends. Like, drinking right now just does not appeal to me. So I have not had this beer, so I couldn't tell you whether or not.
I would say skip it, just because even at its best, it would still just be this is a thing to drink. This is much more interesting. My final beer, brew sake, and this is the Sake Bomb Brew. It's a Japanese style rice lager, and this is done by Brew Theory, Pittman Street, Orlando, Florida. They say this is enjoy the refreshing brew sake with your dinner or while out on the town celebrating the sake bombs. I did think about doing a sake bomb with it, but I'm just gonna drink this as it is. But this is great. I like this.
Good.
It's got that nice rice lager like tartness. Like it's not that cheap rice lager like you were drinking like a Bud Light or something, but nice. I enjoy this. But okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So my pick is Attack on Titan. This is almost like a 100 episode series. Started in 2013. But this follows the first episode follows a young Aaron Yeager and his female friend and their other friend who live in this huge, I'm going to say gated community, but it's a society funny. That lives behind these giant walls, because outside these walls are these giant faceless kind of like creatures, or, you know, like they're just meandering through. They do end up having faces in the end, but just these giants, and then every once in a while you get what's called a titan, which is big enough to destroy their city wall. So the first episode is the young boy committed to wanting to join and fight these monsters. The story now is going to be an older boy. Of a young man who's dedicated his life to destroying these monsters and fighting the Titans. But yeah, the first episode is kind of annoying. The
home is a pen and humans are cattle.
Yeah, but they are. They're basically living in a fenced in area for these monsters to come in and then eat them all. But from everything I've heard, the reason I picked this is because people go crazy when the next season comes out. It's huge. And I'd like to see where this story goes and what it's going to be. But this is definitely bloody and violent and very
salty language.
Anime-y. The other thing is like, oh, the guards are like, there's not going to be an attack. We're going to get drunk on our shift and just sit around and play cards because nothing happens. But possibly if they were in position, they would have seen the giant titan coming.
That giant titan, though, like it seemed like it just kind of like fell from the sky like the lightning. Was it the lightning burst that created the Titan?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't know either. Because that's what I gathered.
I know.
There's something happening in that cellar.
This is Yanni's favorite anime. And it is so bleak. When Paul and I were kind of talking the other night while you were at home recovering, John, I can't remember like how I kind of said it, but there's like battles won in this anime, but there's never any victories for it. Like, this is the kind of anime that you watch, and then afterwards you're like, I'm going to watch a Spy Family. I'm going to watch a Haikyuu. Like, you need that palate cleanser, because it doesn't matter what happens in that episode. There's going to be something. It's going to end on a cliffhanger. There's going to be a character death. There's going to be some sort of loss that at the end of it, you're going to just be like, oof, okay. Have you watched any more of it? Because
No, I plan on it. Okay. Like I said, just for this, I just was watching the first episode to talk about it.
Yeah, I definitely feel like this is an anime that it's like every step forward, it's just a step further into the meat grinder.
Yeah.
And every character hopes that, oh, but once we're through the meat grinder and we're all messed up and in pieces, we can somehow just mush ourselves back together. And that's the hope. That's the dream.
Yeah.
Pretty. It's just, and I'm like, pretty much. No, guys, no. And I talked about this with you, Chris, and I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. It's zombies, but make them bigger. And somebody's like, oh, yeah, I could make a big zombie. Like, big. And they're like, no, no. Make them bigger up.
Bigger up.
Like from The Office, you know? Just make them bigger up. So they're just really tall zombies. And they're riding on horses with things strapped to the legs, which shoot out arrows that then like let them swing from trees. But it doesn't seem like, I guess they would have to be able to retract those arrows and then shoot
them. So
omnidirectional
movement gear. So basically, if you notice, like their main weapons are swords.
Mm-hmm.
Those swords have cables that are attached to the ODM gear.
Mm-hmm.
That like it has triggers on it, because you can pull the trigger, it shoots out, you pull the trigger, it like retracts back in. So that's how they're basically able to traverse terrain or like up to the Titans to hit the weak spots.
I'm guessing the back of their neck.
Yep. Yeah, it's like the nape of the neck. Again, this is Yanni's favorite anime, and
was he brave? Was the sacrifice? Did the sacrifice mean anything?
No. Spoilers. No sacrifice ever means anything.
I'm sorry, Chris. You're telling me that in a way too calm way for me to understand it.
Because it's better you hear from me, Paul, than thinking things are going to get better. Because
you need to scream shout it at people.
Yeah, the whole series is basically about futility and just old man yells at clouds kind of thing, because you need to not just fight back, you need to inspire change. And like we're in season 3 right now, and I only saw the first season of this like originally, because when I was living in Michigan, one of the guys I worked with, like we were talking about anime, and I was like, oh, like, you know, I used to be really into it in high school. And he was like, oh, like you need to watch Attack on Titan. It's great. And at that point, it was like one of those, like, the next season's going to be coming out in like a few months, because there was like, I forget how long of a gap between the first season and the second season. It was like 4 years or something. It's like, you can catch up now. Like, you can be good to go when it comes out. And I just never watched anything past the first season. Where is it? Yeah, first season came out in 2013. The second season came out in 2017. So definitely like a big gap, but like the manga was ongoing. Like you could still like read it like weekly in whatever collection of comics it was coming out in. But yeah, like this, it's bleak, but it's so engaging and so engrossing, because it turns into, I know Paul was saying like, oh, like it's like big zombies, but it turns into political thriller that also has big zombies in it. Like, it, you think you know where it's going to go, but then it makes a very sharp left turn, and it doesn't forget, like, the things that you knew and you thought it was something else. It's like, no, that's there. But now there's also false rulers, coup d'etat, overthrow the church. Like, it's bonkers where the series goes. And I love it, but again, it's a one episode a night kind of show, and I was like, all right, I had a rough day at work. Like, maybe we don't watch it tonight, yeah, kind of show, but it is fantastic, and there's like great characters in it. And I'm gonna try to find a scene to send you guys, like, just to kind of like entice you and encourage you to watch more, because the fight scenes in it are stunning. Like, once the characters kind of go through their paces, because there is a time jump in this, like, from that first episode later on, because spoilers, I guess, like, yeah, Aaron and his friends suffer massive loss, and then, like you said, he devotes his life to beating these titans. So when they're of age, they join, like, the cadet corps. They start to train. They do want to fight back. And as soon as they're like, all right, guys, we did it, let's go take the fight to them, there's another attack on the city, and it's even worse. And it's like, oh, I get this now. Futility, consequence. These are the things that we're dealing with. But anytime you see, like, all right, like, they're gearing up, they're gonna fight, you're just like, feast for the eyes, baby. Let me watch this.
Yeah. No, I plan on watching more. Like, it's definitely there. I've watched probably, I think it was before Grayson was born, I started getting back into anime, and like I watched all of I rewatched all of like Hellboy Bebop, and I got into that, and I did check out some different things. Like, every once in a while I pop on something and I'll watch a season or this or that. But yeah, like, this year I watched a lot of One Piece because of the live action.
Okay.
And then there was another live action on Netflix. I forget what the name is.
But Cowboy Bebop.
It wasn't Cowboy Bebop.
No, Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yes.
Because you texted me about it. And it's like, it's one of those ones that I was familiar with, but I never watched.
It was on
Cartoon Network. Cartoon Network. I don't remember.
And I basically have that guy's one that goes hair whenever I take off my hat right now. You know that.
It was one of those ones, like, when it came out.
Big puff.
It was released in America, or it was kind of coming to prominence in America at a point where it's kind of like the Dragon Ball thing for you, Paul, where it's like, oh, I can tell this is dated. Like, looking at it, I'm like, oh, well, this is definitely like early 90s stuff. And like, at that time, I was like, okay, maybe not for me. It's supposed to be great, though.
I really liked the live action one, and I went back and I watched
a spirit gun, spirit finger or something.
And I watched I started watching it, and I was like, man, they did such a good job with the live action that, like, I feel like skipping this, but I don't know how much they condensed it to do this. So then I was watching it, but I just kind of, I got two kids, I fall off of things, and I don't have time to do stuff. And then, like you said, Chris, you get home from work, or you put your kids to bed after a long day at work, it's like, do I want to watch something serious, or am I just going to watch something that I've seen before that I turn my brain off and then go to bed?
Because that leads us into one of my next questions, because I have two. Outside of, do you continue on with what you picked? Is there anything now that you're more in the know, like, you've taken that first step in? Is there anything else that you're now maybe more curious about, that you've heard about, that you maybe want to travel down that road, or like?
I think the other one that I would want to do would be the one that I would pick for the next one that we do with this.
Next year, for next National Anime Day.
Oh, this isn't going to be like a bi-monthly thing that we do?
I mean, we could, but Paul's already like,
There's no more about sports.
There's plenty of sports anime.
It's sports anime is like a whole subgenre. It's like superhero movies. Like it's its whole own other.
But My Hero Academia was like the other one that I wanted to do. That it's been on my list of I need to watch it, but I have never gotten around to it.
We started that one recently, and that's because Yanni said like, oh, John could watch that with Grayson because it's very all age appropriate, and like we've done two episodes of it now, and there's some blood, but it's like fantasy blood. It's like the kind of blood that like if you were watching an edited cartoon in the 90s, it would have been like, oh, it's supposed to be red, but you can tell they painted it black instead. Like it's nothing like.
Grayson's watched both the anime and the live action One Piece, and there's some
pretty
crazy violence in that.
I enjoyed like the episodes that we watched, and it's one of those things like I do look forward to catching more. Anything else?
I enjoyed this. As much as Paul's pick was a Paul's pick, mm-hmm. It was interesting to see like that other side of like an anime that is just like a slice of life kind of a thing. And then to have kind of
the stakes are we going to win this game?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all my friends that I'm playing with play soccer. It's just mm-hmm. some random kid I met in the hallway at school.
But it is interesting, like all three of them were all very different animes.
Paul, is there anything else now that you're like, oh, maybe this one?
I don't know any other anime. I really don't know what's new. I don't know, like, I know Dragon Ball Z is a thing still, but because it's having a relaunch or return.
Dragon Ball Super, it was... So they did the original Dragon Ball, then the next series was Dragon Ball Z, and then independently from the original creator, Akira Toriyama, they did a sequel series, Dragon Ball GT, mm-hmm. and then after that one, he came back and did Dragon Ball Super, which is like the most recent version of it, which was like...
So does that take place after GT, or is that like...
Yes, it takes place after it. But it doesn't acknowledge it in a way. Like, it's like, yes, these characters have continued to age and grow, but if you skip GT, like, that's fine. Like, everyone's just a little bit older. I'm interested in watching that. I didn't realize that it was, like, another, like, 200 episodes of Dragon Ball, because, like, apparently it went on longer than I expected.
I'm just heartbroken to learn that Robotech isn't actually a Japanese anime, but a, like, a weird... like Americanized, like, oh, they took the anime and mm-hmm. they took another anime and they took a third anime, spliced them all together, wrote a new story, and that is what Robotech is.
Yeah.
Wasn't there supposed to be a new Gundam Wing too that was coming out that was supposed to be pretty
Gundam's
good?
Gundam's one of those things like I never got into. I like Gundam Wing. There's a new one that's coming out. Like, it actually hasn't... Well, there's two new ones coming out that I'm interested in. The one that's coming out really soon is called Kaiju Number 8. It's basically like a Pacific Rim type world where kaiju attacks are just a thing, and there's a defense force created to fight back against them. And there's a dude that wants to join it, but then it turns out, like, he gets... Not possessed, but made, like... I guess like infected would be the word for it by a kaiju. So it gives him like the ability to like transform into one. So it's kind of like that Ultra Mega comic book that we read a few years ago that came out from, I think it was Image or Boom. That looks really cool. And then the one that I'm most interested for that's actually just started in Japan. So it should be coming to America soon. It's called Go Go Loser Ranger, where it's basically a spin on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers mythos, where the Power Rangers are actually the villains, but they're playing the heroes, and they have subjugated the aliens that they're fighting just to kind of garner favor with humanity so they can, like, install a secret shadow government. And then finally, like, one of the alien foot soldiers, like, so a member of the Putty Patrol is kind of like, guys, this is dumb. Why are we doing this? Like, we have the resources to fight back, actually infiltrates the Rangers to sow discord from inside.
Interesting.
Sounds it.
Yeah. Interesting. But also, you'll have to pick it for a podcast.
I might. And then my second question, because I said I had two. We didn't get to see the actual theme songs for my pick and John's picks, but anime theme song culture is like its own separate like fandom where, you know, you think back to your Full House, your Family Matters, like, oh, this show had an iconic theme song. It's strictly, I associate it with that. Anime theme songs are usually like done by pop artists in Japan, and each season or like release or movie or whatever they do has a different theme song from like a different like artist to kind of like differentiate it from like the previous releases or seasons. John, have you seen the theme songs for Attack on Titan?
No. Did it play at the beginning of it?
It didn't play in the beginning of the first episode, but in the second episode, it should be there. It's basically Japanese power metal. And it's amazing. And the first line of it is in German. And the first line of it is like, are you the food or are you the hunter? And then it kicks off into like guitar solo.
Nice.
Effin' banger. fantastic. Like, Yanni will have like her earbuds in as she's like cleaning, like doing laundry, whatever. But like, I can hear it. And she's usually listening to Attack on Titan songs. And then the Spy Family one is a lot of fun, but I like the next seasons more. Paul, what did you think of the Haikyuu theme song?
It's okay.
It's okay. It's not bad.
Yeah.
He has no idea. He doesn't remember
it. He doesn't remember it. That's fine.
I did watch it like 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago because I watched those first because I thought we were getting on earlier for the podcast. And so I decided to load it up because you guys were like, oh, closer to 8:30. And I'm like, oh, okay, I got time. I'll watch it.
But that's fine.
It's an anime theme. It's in a language I don't understand. So didn't really hit.
Okay, Paul. The song can still be good. Yeah, I might not know the words, but it's got a good beat.
Toe listener,
toe tapping. If there's something we should have watched, let us know, and we'll do that next bi-monthly episode of this, because that's what John's requested. We're not going to do that. Baby annual, though. If there's something else we should have watched, let us know. If there's something you want to hear us talk about, email us, beggingboardcast@gmail.com. Otherwise, we're just going to keep talking about comic books, and there's nothing wrong with that. Itchy, itchy, itchy.